Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Good morning, everyone. I want to make sure you guys can hear me online.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Before we get started, let's just pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word, your truth. We thank you for who you are and who we are because of you. We thank you, Lord, that you desire us, Lord, to follow you and to know what that means, to help others do the same as part of our mission. But Lord, I just want to say thank you, and we just pray that your word would help transform us to be more like you, that people would see your light and not ours. And we just thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. So we give your Holy Spirit free and legal authority to move and have your way in this day. And we just pray that you help us to grow closer to you. And we pray all these things in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you. All right. I'm trying to get this. All right, so we are in Luke 24. Those of you who are new, we try and go through as much of the Bible, especially the Gospels, slowly, so we can actually get to know the Word, and the Word can bear fruit in our lives, and we can be built up by the life of Jesus. Because his life is the light that we follow. I appreciate what the pastor was talking about. To be a disciple, we follow, we get changed by that following, and our mission is to do what God asks us to do around that task of who he is and that change that's happening to us. And so with that in mind, that whole follow piece is something that we got to actually build our minds with, because just like a cup, this is a cup of tea. We all have our cups that we carry with us, and the question is, what is our cups filled? And I'll talk about that later. All right, but in chapter 24 of Luke, we find out what's going on with Jesus after he. We find out that he didn't stay dead. How about that? And one of the things that we're going to do, part of our mission is to be a light and to understand what it means for Christianity to be a category of one. It's not just a better religion than other religions. No. We don't have a good religion or a better religion. We have something different. We have a relationship. And so that's something we need to be mindful of. It's not just, we don't have a good religion. We don't have the best religion. No. In many ways, we have something that's a little bit different. I even put it up here. Christianity isn't a religion, but a relationship that transforms life. And we talked about it. It changes us. Christian faith is not one of many faiths in the marketplace. Christianity is unique, universal, eternal. And it deals with eternal life that comes by faith. And so that's what it is. And so I don't want to get it twisted, but that's the process. We're a different category. And what does that mean? What does that look like for us? All right, you should have led with that. You know that phrase. And so, you know, this story is one in which there's a lot of stuff going on. How women are treated, how people believe or don't believe something that their master has said, et cetera, et cetera. Last week we find out of how he was crucified. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about that as well. I was going to ask for a little help. Can somebody who's not eating or anybody want to share? Anybody want to read these 12 verses, the first 12 verses of Luke? If not, I can do that. Let me go ahead. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing. And they didn't have electricity back then, so it was just, this is bright stuff. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to him, why are you seeking the living one among the dead? Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? The capital O, I like that. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now these women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Anybody know who that is? Why did they say the mother of James? I'm just asking. We're doing questions today. We're going to do some questions. But this is important. Who is Mary, mother of James? We read past stuff. You know what I'm saying? So who is this person? You know.
Mary, mother of Jesus.
Yes, James is his brother. So instead of saying Jesus' mother, they say mother of James, which is, again, why do you do that? That's another story. But it's interesting that they went that way. So Jesus' mother and the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles, but these words appeared to them as nonsense. Nonsense. And they would not believe the women. Just saying. Nonetheless, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stood and looked in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what happened. So y'all know what happened this week with the hockey players. And the poor guys were put into a predicament because they had heard a joke about the women. And they end up, many of them laughed. But most of these folks did not believe. But Peter had to go find out for himself. So I don't know if he couldn't stand up. We should believe these women. This is Jesus' mother. Y'all know that? This woman is serious. Why am I going to believe them? You know, and Peter went and I don't know how much he believed them. He went to go check what they said. And that's something that's here as well. And this is written by Luke. I know Luke got a lot of his information from Peter as well, so it's another story. But this is an interesting scripture that talks about what happened after Jesus rose and the response of the disciples. Okay, so good morning. It's good to see you. We're in Luke 24. And I saw this video, and I was going to hopefully see if I can play it, if people can hear it. Why are you seeking living among the dead? And what has happened to all the disciples, including the women, they've been bumped. They've had a situation where the guy they have been following for most of the last 3 years is gone. Let me see if I can get this video up.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
Okay, now, so what's going on here is a principle that's general. This is something that we have to understand, that this is something that most people know. Now, one of the things we have to understand about this thing called revelation is something that is revealed to us. That's kind of what the word comes from, something that is revealed. And so in the world, there is what's called general revelation. There's people in different religions, people different mindsets, people in science. All these things are pretty much general revelations, things that are revealed, you know, how the world actually works, okay? I was talking to my students this week about understanding some principles that are there and people have known throughout history, but mankind kind of finagles its way around things. There was a guy who got a Nobel Prize for inventing good old nitrogen-based fertilizer. It's an interesting thing, it was a Jewish guy. I'll maybe talk a little bit more about him. But this guy, the reason why nitrogen-based fertilizer became so big is because of how we farmed the world. Thanks to colonialism and people trying to make money off of this new land that they got, one of the things that happened was is that people started to have mono types of cultures of agriculture. So you have corn, lots of sugar cane, which became very addictive to folks. And so we got all this sugar cane now in these nice plantations where you can take that sugar or sugar cane and just export it like pure gold. It's just gonna make a lot of money that way. But when you do a monotype of culture, this, by the way, in the Bible, it's real clear how you're supposed to do agriculture. They actually have rotation built into how you do things. And it works perfectly for replenishing the land. It's why the land also needs a Sabbath, just like we do, so we actually can get restored. It's an interesting thing. It's all in the word. But because these colonies wanted to make money, you know, they literally had the corporations that were running, the Eastern Indian Tea Corporation and all of them, they ran the world. Not dissimilar to today. Just remember that. This is what's going on. But because they did it that way, one of the things that happened is that we needed to replenish the soil, and that nitrogen-based fertilizer did the job, but it did a job on a situation that we created, okay? So that's the thing about this knowledge. So sometimes we do certain things, and yes, he got a Nobel Prize for this, and this is an important thing, and it helped us continue in a way where we're still doing a lot of that monoculture type of agriculture, but the thing about these processes is that we have a choice in how we do things. And so I just want you to think about that and what we fill our cups with. And so in this case, what we see is this principle, this general revelation, which is really important, talks about how we can do things, but special revelation leads us back to say, and this is what's going on in our world today, we need to go back to the Bible. We need to go back to other ways to do agriculture, because this other way is actually destroying our land. And that's where we have the Dust Bowl and all sorts of other stuff going. It's a lot of stuff going on there. But, you know, that special revelation, it comes back to very specific things. So most of the world has this general revelation of who God is, of these principles. And this Buddhist monk, I think this principle is perfectly fine. You can find it in the scripture. Think on those things which are lovely, that are pure, that are good report. This is Philippians 4:8. Essentially, it's the same thing. What are you filling your cup with when you get hit? And all the disciples, these women, got hit with their king, their rabbi, being killed. And so what's going on in them, is what do they fill their cup with? One of the things that they had still in their cup was some traditions. We've got to take care of the body. And so they were there. One of the cups that the men had, we don't listen to women. I hate to say it, but that's one of the things that's probably still in their cup, right? And so, you know, Peter, you know, at least had to go find out for himself. That was something in his cup. And I need you to think about what's in your cup. What has God put in you, and what are you putting in yourself to be ready to follow him, to be changed by him, and to do the mission that he has for you? And the Lord is patient. He's patient with all these knuckleheads. And he was, and the angels were patient with the women. Why are y'all looking for the living among the dead? Because their cup of routines and traditions is what they brought to it. So I just want y'all to think about those and how these things work together. And we need to think about us. But, you know, when something happens to us, what are we filled with? You know what you're made of when somebody cuts you off on the expressway. Wow. Am I filled with what? Anger, pain, patience, prayer. You know, so those are the kind of things you need to think about. And so what is in your heart is what comes out when we are tested. And so what is in you? How can you share that with others who like their coffee black? Because you're going to be dealing with folks who have some black stuff and dark stuff that's in their cup. And God wants us to be patient with them, but also understand they're looking at us to see how we deal with things when we get bumped. Mm-hmm. Our relationship with God is calling us to be filled with him, his spirit, and to think on those things which are, as I said in Philippians 4:8. I'm going to go and read that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, and if anything be worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's how we fill our cup. And that's sometimes easier said than done, but this is a job. This is actually something that we're supposed to do. This is part of the follow and change. Because without doing these things, we'll be just like the Corinthians. You know, don't forget, this is Paul's writing to churchgoers, early churchgoers, who were messing up because they couldn't take care of the poor folks. You know, so this is part of this process, is that we all need to fill our cups with what's true and what's right. Okay. I'm hoping this should play. This is a big thing on the internet. This is called the Pepsi paradox. And it deals with essentially the process of, I'll let it play. We can maybe even talk about it. But it deals with something that's not so obvious. And this is where I'm trying to get at, is that our faith is not a good cola. It's a different thing altogether.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
I like that thing, is that you are what's happening. God made you special. It's in VeggieTales, right? God loves you. And VeggieTales was not the best artistic stuff. They did not have arms, but they became something that was very special. And they were a Christian and all this good stuff. And the reason why I say that is that God has called you and called each one of us to have a voice. Amen. And to be a category of one. And people will be drawn to you, not because you are all that, but because it's not because y'all as humble as her. She goes, but that's part of the nature of it. And I love that aspect of it. I love the Jack Black example. You know who else could have done Kung Fu Panda. Right? But this is the reason why I say all this is that we are the Kung Fu Panda for some people, the people God is calling us to be. We don't have to be like everybody else. And we don't have to get caught up in what people think about us and all this stuff. Yet God is calling us to be in who we are in the midst of this process. But one of the things about Christianity, because this is where I'm talking about this, the very nature of Christianity is happening in Luke 24. We ain't like any other religion. We're better than Hinduism. We ain't Hinduism. We got a different bottle. That's one of the things that happened with Coca-Cola. They wanted to have a different bottle so everybody would know whenever you pick up their bottle, you knew it was Coke. And just that little thing changes it. Everybody knows the shape of a Coke bottle. And you can, and so that little thing made them stand out. So yeah, that whole red and white thing is another story. They had that's why all these food companies always have red in them. It's just that we know psychologically and cope with that early. This is the kind of things that we do that. But the reason why I say all this, the thing about Pepsi or Coke, Pepsi is a little bit more sugar or whatever. It actually, quote unquote, tastes better, but it also gives you what your body wants, but it's not necessarily what your body needs. And it hits your brain a certain way. And so the reason why I say all this is that, I teach in a private school. In certain areas, I taught in public school, I taught in different areas and things like that. And so in certain places where the culture is, I want the easiest thing, AP classes are not gonna be the end all be all. But in a place where you're trying to get into a certain college, you need to take AP classes. We had a new AP class this year, AP psychology, and they had to have a wait list, And that's because that's the culture in that environment. Why do the hard thing? Because AP is marketed as that. It is something that you need to get to this other place. And it requires more work. Heaven forbid I have to do more work. But, that's part of the nature of this beast. If you want to be an athlete or something like that, you have to put the work in. And so this is, again, part of this process is that something might be, quote unquote, better or easier. But the thing that really gets you, once you want to be an athlete and you can get people to do something like that, that gets people working and changing, and even doing the hard stuff, And that's, again, part of this process is how do we get to do the hard stuff? I'm sorry. All right. All right. So how is Jesus different than other religious leaders? He wasn't better. Of course, he was God. He didn't compliment them. He was a category of one. You can't compare him. You just can't. They didn't like him. All right? He has a miraculous origin story, which occurs before his birth. I can talk more about this, but the thing about Jesus is that he appears in the Old Testament. There's Christophanies and stuff like that. And people thought it was an angel and said, yay. Most angels, even in this situation, they didn't correct him from worshiping him because they have other stuff to say. But generally when angels appear with their glowing outfits and stuff like that, people are scared. And so most of the time when people start to worship the angels say, don't worship me. They know what happened with Satan. And that wasn't a good thing. He got kicked out. So you do not worship the angels. And if somebody tries to do that, they say, no, I'm only an angel. Do not worship. Worship God only. But there's times in the Old Testament where somebody, an angel, quote unquote, under the Lord appears, and he didn't say, don't worship him. And this is kind of even the MO of Jesus. How people would worship him and he would not correct it. He wouldn't stand down on that because it benefits them. Okay, he's good. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. He got rocks if he needs them, right? But that's not, so that's that. But his origin story happens even before he was born. His was a story connected to thousands of years of history regarding being the Messiah. He was an integral part of a line of people. In Genesis, it says, Satan will heal, hurt his heel, and he will hurt the Satan's head. These are the kind of things that just keep showing up. He preaches not to gang students, but oftentimes to push them away. He did, you know, Jesus, he gave stuff. He put it, he made hard on stuff. He says, if you do this, you know, if your brother said, you know, hurt you, don't forgive him seven times. He says 70 times seven, and he didn't mean 490, by the way. He was saying, forgive him as many times as you need to. Yes. And that hurts people, because that's not the way we roll. That's not how we normally look at things. So he gave stuff that was hard, and sometimes almost impossible for us to do. You know, when somebody was caught in adultery, you know, said, you know, I forgive you, but at the same time, go and sin no more. You know, he didn't make things easy on folks. You know, one of the big ones was towards the end, and he was saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. And that sounds like cannibalism. Yeah, you know? And that was something that put a lot of people away. They said many folks fell away because of that. And he didn't have to say that. It was almost like an anti-altar call. Because he's looking for folks who are going to like his brand. And his brand is, you are going to sacrifice and love for others and do the hard thing, you know? And if it just tastes too good to be true, maybe it is. But this walk, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but it's still a yoke. It's not something you can just, you know, not deal with. So you got to follow me. He heals the sick in defiance of worldly traditions. So, you know, not only did he do miracles, he did miracles that made people mad. He healed on the Sabbath day. You know, and in many ways, he did it on purpose to show them, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, if I am who I say I am, you know, I'm different than the others. You know, and so this is what I'm saying, he's a category of one. And so he wasn't out to make people happy. He was out to do the right thing and fully represent his brand. Okay. All right. You know, he says, woe to Chorazin, to Sodom. You know, if Sodom had the same miracles that they had, they would have been, they would have repented. And the big story and the big difference between Jesus and all other religions and all the things is that he was born to die as a sacrifice and then be resurrected. Okay? He wasn't ordinary. And so that's part of this process. No other religious leader can say that. Okay? They can have some good teachings, they can do all sorts of stuff, but Jesus ultimately wasn't about teaching. He was about dying. And so that's just beautiful, but it's also part of his brand that we need to follow. Okay? His absent body is a testament of his resurrection. You know how people try to keep things? You know, if his body was still around, they would have tried to use it to worship it or whatever. And even to this day, supposedly the Shroud of Turin is supposed to be his burial shroud. And you can say that we're talking about the historicity of that and all that good stuff. Literally, a king was commended for getting rid of the brass serpent. I don't know if you remember the brass serpent. Well, what happened was in the Old Testament, again, the people, our people, what happens when what's in their cup? And they get bumped by being hungry. What do people do? Complain. We have more to eat in Egypt than we had here, right? And God, Moses was upset. God was upset. I fed y'all with manna. I got all this stuff. And y'all want something? Okay, I'm going to send snakes. He sent snakes, poisonous snakes, to bite people. He didn't send them to bite people just out of spite or anger. He did it for them to see if they would follow him. Remember, it's follow, it'd be changed by him, and do his mission. And so he did that to see if they would follow him. So they people were dying, the snakes bit them because of their lack of faith. But Moses was told to create a serpent made of gold.
Bronze,
that he would lift up. And if anybody looked up to this snake, they would be healed. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like somebody looking up to Jesus, which is another story, but that's how it was portrayed. And all you have to do is choose. Okay, you can do things according to my way, or you can do it your way. And a lot of people may not have done, that bronze serpent was actually a physical thing, and people started to worship it. Right? And the king actually destroyed it. And God was happy about that because you shall have no other gods before me. And what happens is that people worship anything that they can get their hands on.
Yep.
But God wants them to worship him on his terms. And so that's just another example. But this is the thing about the bronze serpent. He's different. His body's gone. And if his body was around, you would probably find it. And this is one reason why the Jews have to lie about this and all sorts of stuff in other gospels. But long story short, there are no bones for Jesus to be found. Okay? And again, he wasn't trying to reach nirvana. He wasn't trying to please fickle gods. He was fulfilling the sacrifice rituals of the Jews, the sacrifice of an innocent lamb. And so that's part of this process. Oh, man. Okay. My bad. Oh, anyway. So what's the answer to this one? I guess y'all know.
Sure.
The centurion who cut Jesus open is a saint in the Catholic Church. True or false? I guess y'all saw. My bad. It is true. And, I'm not going into the historicity of all this, but his story, at least the story of the saint, is, I think, it's a powerful story. And so I just wanted you to think about that. And he understood the category of one. He was there. He opened up the side of Jesus and water and blood flowed out. You'll see how that impacted his life. But he was choosing this category of one guy. So let's listen.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
So, again, I'm not trying to deal with the historicity of this. I mean, thinking about the biblical component of this is that, sounds very similar to Samson. And that's a story we pretty much hold. He lost his eyes, and then he took out the gods of the temple and killed more people in that last thing. So, I don't want to go into detail. I'm not trying to vouch for any of the historicity of this, but I'm just letting you know this is...
It's a great legend.
He's a great legend. It's a narrative. And he's a category of one. That's what the saints are. They're categories of one. And again, I'm not going to the whole idea of the saints, because we all got that. That's what we call saints. And God is calling us, if we get seen by the world, or if we don't, to be somebody who's a category of one, at least for somebody else. And so that's the piece. Saying launching this, a story about may not be perfect, et cetera, et cetera. But in his branding, it fits someone who was changed by a category of one to become, in many ways, his own category of one. All right. When he was bumped, what came out of him? Faith. And so that's what God is looking for. People who get bumped and are filled with his truth. Okay.
This is an interesting picture here. One of the things I want us to do, because we're thinking about, I want y'all to think about how is Christianity different. I don't know how much time I have. I can finish through this pretty quickly. But I did want us to think about, is America better or worse than other countries in our religion? Because again, it's that whole line thing, better, worse. God's not, doesn't care about better or worse. He cares about are you following him. But I do want us to think about where we are in some of these things? So what are some of the top religions in the world? Oh, I have Christianity. I have, this is America, by the way. Okay, so Christianity is about 60% of the population. I thought this picture was very telling, because a lot of Christian churches are not as full as they used to be. Christianity is not what it used to be. One of the fastest growing religions in the United States is good old witchcraft or Wiccan and stuff like that. At the same time, there's parts that are growing, but we don't worry about that. We worry about who we follow. But I just put this down, and so these are the different religions. Christianity is about 60%. Unaffiliated is about 30%. Okay, and again, the reason why I want us to think about this is that, again, Jesus stands out. He's not like these other religions. At the same time, we need to know who we're dealing with, what's in their cup. And so when they get bumped, what's going to happen? And how can we help them fill their cup or find Jesus to help fill that cup? Amen. So that in my mind, so Christianity is that, about 40% Protestant, about 20% Catholic. It's just important to know. Judaism, about 2%. Islam is only about 1%, but I know that's growing. Buddhism is about 1%. Hinduism is about 1%. Again, a lot of those are growing. There's other religions that are there. But again, that non-affiliated, including atheists, were there. Only about 5% of the country is atheist, which is interesting. But if you go to others, you can see. This question I have for you: almost 5 million people in the United States practice witchcraft. True or false? There's a lot of stuff on the internet that say America's worse than a lot of other places, but that's true. All right, I'll give it to you. It's false. But there are about, again, this one, voodoo and other natural religions. So this is what I wanted to show you, is that though witchcraft is only about 2 million, about 1.5 in the United States, 1.5 to 2, which is still a lot. There are about 2.5 dealing with modern witchcraft, 2 to 5 million, but 1 billion that believe in witchcraft. Okay, so that's the thing. And again, one of the things about people, what's in their cup. Guess what? You know, I don't know about y'all, but when I go to a place where I can dispense my own soda, I don't know about you, but I sometimes add a few things to the same cup. anybody use the mix and match it? You don't do that. You hear me? I don't mind a little bit of them. And I also like the ones that do it for me. Like if I can get some peach crush and some orange stuff in there, I'm a mixer. I love to mix. Okay. Y'all,
it never occurred to me to do that. I'll try it now.
But don't forget, that happens. That used to happen all the time. That's how we got Cherry Coke.
Yep.
That, you know, and Dr. Pepper has 23 flavors. You know, that's where people would actually do some mixing. And I say all that because that's really what's going on in a lot of people in the world. They fill their cup of faith with a lot of different things. Okay? Some of it's Catholic, some of it's historical religions, natural religions. And so they cover themselves. I just mentioned that because this is part of the nature of it. Even as a billion people believing, the quote-unquote, the folks who really follow Wiccan as a primary thing is only about 2 to 5 million. But people follow, you know, Buddhism and other stuff, natural religions. A lot of that is built into that. And that's a lot of people. Okay, so again, when we're dealing with folks, we need to know where they're coming from. And sometimes it's not necessarily they are, quote unquote, only just doing witchcraft or whatever. Some folks are adding just a little bit of witchcraft. And again, what is witchcraft? It's believing that our spirits are connected to something bigger and that we can use that connection to the spiritual to change the world. And that includes incantations and other things like that. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of folks talk about is that there's quote unquote white witches and dark witches. And, you know, most of us as Christians, we guess they know such things as a white witch. You don't play with the spiritual stuff. Okay? It's not a good thing to do because we believe in spirits. And if you're playing with them, you're at risk, put it that way.
Amen.
Okay. But, you know, the reason why I say all this is, you know, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with, folks. You need to understand that, you know, people may be coming from different places, and we need to be able to at least meet them where they are. Okay, so I'm done. And I know we have stuff coming, and we're trying to do other things. And I also want to have a time of questions and answers. Because it's first Sunday, but I just want to think about these couple of things as we start this opening session, and you can answer them or not. But if you approach someone about their faith, where do you think many will stand? Where are folks right now in the United States? You know, what's in their faith cup? Think about that, because again, how we help and minister to folks. It can be impactful for where they are. How likely are people to have more than one type of religion, faith, practice in their cups? And what does it look like to have God fill our cups when trials come? What does that look for me? How am I filling my cup with the stuff that I'm dealing with? So those are just things I wanted to think about. But I also want to see if people have their own questions. And that is it for me today. Let's close just with a short time of prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you. We acknowledge that we have complete and utter dependence upon you.
Yes.
But we cannot do anything on our own. But I also just want to say thank you, Father, that you have made us different.
Yes.
Lord, you know, you, there are so many stars in the universe, and you know each one by name.
Yes.
More than the number of people, and you know each one of us by name.
Yes.
You know what makes us special, our voice and the even experiences we've gone through, good and bad. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for the uniqueness that you have put in us. And we just pray that you would help us to follow you using that uniqueness.
Yes.
Help us to be changed, even with this uniqueness, to be, Lord, the person you have called us to be within your spirit, oh Father. And help us to accomplish the missions that you have, the very unique and special missions that you have for us that only we can fulfill because of who you made us. And so I just pray, Father, right now that you just bless this word, that it bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And help us to be people, Lord, that are following you, who love you and put you first. And again, we thank you just for who you are and who we are because of you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn the lights on. So these questions are up there, but if you have any of your own, or you know, if you want to answer any of these things, like what does it look like for God to fill your cup?
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.